Oh, Combs, you're priceless. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, and if you want to know what we were laughing at before we started, you should have been here for the pre-show, because that's where it's at, man. Don't listen to any of this rubbish that when we press record. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever. Joining me to discuss a massive, massive weekend. I have no idea what's going on. It might not be a massive weekend tech. But starting us off, Campion, who's putting his son to bed at the moment, and then Jeffrey.
How's it going?
It's great, man. How's it going in Denver? You still got snow yet?
No, it's, what is it now?
200
it
degrees, because you're nearer the sun.
It's 96 degrees Fahrenheit right now.
That's pretty hot. What's the index? That's is it like 400? Feels like.
Yes. But when I click on feels like, it's just crying.
Am yeah. Yeah. 96 degrees, but feels it's like you're touching the sun. Today. Yeah.
So no snow.
Bad luck, thanks. Had a good day?
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, been all right.
Yeah, hooray for air conditioning.
Not dead yet, that'll do.
That's right.
Next to him, it's Atlee. You're back, mate, by popular demand.
Well, I don't know how true that is, but we'll see.
It's a complete lie. No one wrote to me at all.
That's more believable. Okay.
Although, to be fair, I have had some excitement about us getting a Microsoft show. I don't know how to take that, whether that's like, thank God there's something else to listen to other than the shit you produce, Rankin.
I don't know. Maybe a little column A, a little column B.
Yeah, I know. So we're looking forward to the Microsoft show coming and you taking over the Pocket Show again, mate. That has gone down rather well.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've been working out some details and hopefully we'll get that underway really soon.
Excellent, mate. Next to him, my brother from another mother, Chris Ashley. How are you doing, dude?
I'm doing well, my man. How are you doing?
How much less of you? I'm good, thanks, mate. How much less of you is there now?
A lot less. You can tell?
Christ, you look at your head. You've got a head. It used to be a... It used to be a soccer ball, but now it's a head.
Yeah, man, I've been on my grind. I just hit a year on May 24th when I started my grind, getting the chub off, and yeah, man, it's over 100 pounds at this point.
How much chub have you excised now?
Yeah, over 100.
Over 100 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's awesome.
Well done, thank man.
You. What's that workout to in Canadian weight?
So that's like 8 stone.
Canadian weight.
Oh, are you doing kilos?
What, one little brother, I think?
Oh, I'm not doing kilos, you fucked up Frenchie. Not in a million years.
So, yeah, it's been going good, though. And glad to be back.
We're going to have to change his handle to Little Chris Ashley.
Little Chris Ashley, yes. Good point.
I'm still working on see if I can get a 500-pound bench press one more time. Yeah. One more time in life.
And then you can retire.
Time. So...
Well done, man. Absolutely well done. Well done, mate. Superb effort.
Thank you.
That is awesome. I've been struggling with that myself, and I've only managed to drop about 40 pounds, so I know exactly how that feels. It's an amazing accomplishment.
Chris, I think
40, that's a lot.
I think Chris will back me up in what I'm saying here, but Chris had a little bit more than 40 to lose. Yeah. He was like my kind of size, so.
It was a big boy.
Well done, man.
Thank you.
And last but by no means least, in the studio, we've got his mic technique sorted. Tonight, we're going to try and get his camera technique sorted. Oh, my God. No, maybe we won't. Muller.
Yeah.
Executive producer, Muller.
Executive producer. Getting the shows rolling. Up to 3 weeks ahead now, nearly.
You're kidding.
No.
We've never been that organised.
No. I got some space in the big show for 3 weeks, but I got Mac show sorted for for 2 weeks. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, cool. And we've got Andy Anatko booked for the third.
Yeah. Chuck.
Chuck's his next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We've had a bit of a mess. Streak's supposed to be here, isn't he? And he might show up, but he's had a bit of a work emergency.
So. Yeah, so he's he did say that when he came here, that he's on course occasionally.
You've done brilliantly, mate. We are more organised than we've ever been.
Gee, that's something.
Well, it is, agreed. But considering it was always me saying, who's coming? I don't know. Okay, we'll cancel the show a few weeks ago then.
Yeah. We won't be doing that anymore.
So. I was the booking wanker. No question. The Week in Tech, who's got the first story? Who wants to start us off? We'd love to start with Trev and Simon Swing Your Pants with Kylie, but we're not going to. Jeffrey G.
Which is kind of disappointing.
Well, yeah, but we've altered your life with that, haven't we, mate?
You have completely altered my life.
Seeing Trev and Simon is a life-altering experience for Jeffrey tonight.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been a little altered myself, actually.
Yep. Jeffrey?
That was something.
Yeah. We can mark today on the calendar as the day my world changed.
Good man. Good man. Trev and Simon will turn in their graves at that. They're not dead, but, you know.
But, yeah.
So Windows 10 IoT core services unleashed to public preview. Mac Man brings a Windows story. Take us on it, mate.
I know. You were not expecting that, were
I
you?
I wasn't. I really wasn't.
All right. So Microsoft, they really are serious about having a solid place in the Internet of Things space. And so they need to have a platform that developers can use, like product developers can use. And so that's what Windows 10 IoT Core Services is supposed to be. So the whole idea is great. There's one problem that I see with it, which is that Microsoft wants device makers to pay 30 cents per device per month use this platform. Now they'll get access, like deeper access into Windows for that fee, but I'm thinking that this is actually going to hamper adoption, and I think Microsoft is actually going to have a really hard time getting a solid foothold in the IoT space by charging for this service or for this platform, or even if they feel like they really need a charge, charging so much. Because, I mean, 30 cents per device per month.
That's a lot.
That's going to get really expensive really fast.
Can you tell us what the device is?
Well, this would be any device. So, like, if you want to make smart lights or a smart lock or a smart thermostat that's running Windows, then you can use the IoT Core service platform for Windows, and now you're putting Windows in the smart device as opposed to running it on Linux or Android or whatever custom operating system you want to put on your device.
This is a stated aim of Satya Nadella, wasn't it? He did say IoT, IoT, IoT when he took over. Mm-hmm. His core focus was nothing but IoT. So we shouldn't be too surprised to see this. If you're wondering about the banging, we've got an aluminium place that works next to us, and they're working late tonight, which is why the banging's going on. But nothing I can do about it, but I'm not shutting the windows for anyone.
I'm going to pretend like that's code.
It is. That's right, yeah.
Excellent.
Semaphore.
Well, okay, so Satya Nadella, yes, he's been all about IoT. So seeing the Windows 10 core IoT core services platform rolling out now, this doesn't surprise me at all. What does surprise me is the steep pricing, which sure looks to me like something that's going to hamper adoption of the platform.
Yeah, I don't know why they would have went with that model as opposed to kind of a developer's model, much like, you know, you would do for an app store where you just pay for the dev kit and then, you know, whether that even if that's monthly or yearly. But trying to reach into each device and then each device on a monthly basis, man, I don't know about that. That doesn't seem very attractive, especially when you have other platforms out there available.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't see, if you bought a light, like I've got a couple of smart lights, are you saying that light, if you run Microsoft, they would have to keep on paying 15 cents? Or have I got the wrong end of the stick?
Yeah.
Good question. So the device interactors with the IoT services on Windows 10 will have to pay 30 cents per month per device.
Okay, so this is so there. I just read the article. So this is only if they want to keep their devices on a constant update cycle. through the IoT 10 core services.
Which one would?
If they just want to use Windows IoT, there isn't this fee.
But so the, but surely that then leverages security.
Well, so this will give you so this will give you the ability to update your IoT devices. So I think this is aimed at a different market. I don't think this is aimed at the same market as the IoT lights and the IoT, right, you know, different functions. I think this might be aimed at more like corporate level IoT devices. So things that work in factories, things that work in different things that where they need a certain level of updating and integration with newer systems on a continuous basis.
So two discussion points there straight away. Number one, are you using security as an opportunity to leverage the market for profit? Because that's what it sounds like. And the other thing then is to say, well, hang on, no one else is charging devices for per device per month. There might be a single, if you want to come in our walled garden, you've got to pay a fee, you know.
Okay, so nowhere in the article does it mention security as being the factor. I think it's more to keep them up to date with new functionalities. Well, so as they add new features and abilities to the core IoT services, these devices will continue to get updated. So as let's say I'm running a factory and I have a number of IoT devices and I use Windows IoT 10 core services, as Windows IoT matures and as my needs mature, my IoT devices could then foreseeably get more intelligent or more capable as time goes on.
So the only way I could see this working, and I agree with you, I don't think this is for the end user as at the house level. But I could see companies that go into an organization and say, hey, you know, we have this service for you, and this service, you don't have to worry about a thing. We drop all the devices in, you know, we'll help you configure them, and then you just pay us a monthly fee, in which case you can then build in that extra 10 cents cost into the fee that you're charging the end user. And then when they're done, you pull the devices and everything else out. So that's how I can see it working on that level, which is probably what they're thinking.
Or as a part of these would also possibly be devices that need to report back to something, let's say, like Azure Fabric, Azure Service Fabric, where you're getting constant information and updates on things coming from the IoT devices. Like I said, this looks to me very much like it would work very well in, say, a factory or a large component model, where you want constant reporting, you want constant reports, you want constant abilities and things that will be changing. And in those type of things, it will just become part of their monthly fees for running different things, like same as Office 365 or things like that.
Yeah, so Microsoft is trying to turn Windows, in this case, into operating system as a service.
Yeah, exactly. So they're offering, whatever the offering is, it's probably going to be offered as a service and then can be stopped, in which case you can then offset that cost. So.
Yeah.
So no one else is doing this. No one else wants it. And Microsoft are going to carry on anyway. Isn't there greater risk that people just go, you know what, I'm not going to run it on Microsoft anymore?
Well, you
I
know
think,
what, though?
I think they've the bigger problem is...
They've shown that, you know, they'll try something new, and if it doesn't work, they'll pull the plug on it. So. Right. Yeah. Sometimes you can't wait for the market. You try to create the market, especially in stuff like this. So I don't, you know, you're right. It's risky, but I think they'll make a run at it. And if it doesn't work, they'll pull it. And if it does work, you know, they'll be geniuses again.
Well, I think that Microsoft's biggest danger here and Microsoft's biggest possible weak point here is the fact of the communication. Microsoft always suffers with communication problems. They're not very good at getting their stated objectives out clearly to the public or to the people that matter. And I think that it could quite possible that many people will take the same assumption that we originally did at first looking at the article, that, well, why would I pay 30 cents per month per device to use this thing? And then Microsoft IoT won't get adopted on a lot of different consumer level products, and which may also keep them out of the mind's eye. I think one of Microsoft's biggest weaknesses right now is not being in the conversation. And when they are in the conversation is too confused.
Very much.
And they really have to get much better at their marketing and their clarity on how they get their points across to their stated potential clients.
You're right. The only person they have there that really gets out what they're trying to do and what their vision there is a Panos Panay. That's it. No one else gets their vision out.
Yeah.
That's a big problem.
It's a huge problem. I think I think that it, aside from some of their short-sighted decision-making over the last 5 years, I think that that's been their biggest weakness in the last, I'd say, 15 years. And it's become more and more vital as their consumer problems show bigger holes. Like they have bigger holes in their whole consumer play. And I think they're starting to see the danger of trying to be a corporation-only company in today's market when a lot of the corporations themselves are distributing both decision-making and also, in some cases, device ownership in the corporations among their users, among their staff themselves. And I think that they get left out of a lot of conversations that would be very, very, very beneficial for them to be in.
Atlee, your camera's frozen with your O face, mate. It's just not right.
Nice. Okay, well, that's good. I will remedy that right now.
I wish I'd grabbed a screenshot of that.
Oh, hang on. You can. Here we go. Here he is. There he is. Just there you go. Just grab it now. Oh, he's gone. You were.
No, but I got it. I got it before he was gone.
Oh, mate. Deep pan. Very British phrase. Once again, has Atlee hit the vinegar strokes? What? You need to Google vinegar strokes, but not on a computer that your wife uses.
He's turning Japanese. All
right. My hands are now off the keyboard.
Also, listen to a song called "I'm Turning Japanese."
I think.
I love
Japanese.
That song.
I really think.
So. Yeah, but you don't know what it means, though.
You know what it's about, right?
Oh, I know exactly what it's about.
Yeah. Turning Japanese.
No, I don't. Think. Now I'm gonna have to do some more exploration. My colors are way off, aren't they?
Look at your O face that you just pulled, mate, and you might get an idea about what it's about.
But, yeah, of course.
All by yourself.
I can understand concept or context here.
Yeah, good. That and Welcome to the House of Fun. There's another classic. Madness that no one gets. You come on this show, you colonials, come on this show and you get an education. We should charge. We should friggin' charge. Here he is.
You should be charging 30 cents per person.
30 cents. Per British explanation.
Anyway, that's what Campion did.
Dude, your statement. He's the fruit of your loins, mate. You can't call him that.
I can when he will. He turned two yesterday. And about 5 days ago, the terrible twos came along, smacked him straight around the face, and he's taken it out of us ever since.
So, yeah. Have you started... rubbing whiskey on his gums yet?
Not whiskey.
No, because he's got
gin, brandy, vodka.
He's got frigging teeth and he'll bite me.
He's rubbing pot butter on his gums.
It's crazy how literally a couple of days before two's hit, suddenly it's just gone crazy. Oh well.
How did the launch go, Camps?
It went well. Couple of delays on the Friday night, Saturday night, and then Sunday everything got caught up and I didn't have to work until midnight on Sunday night, which was good. I got done about 7 o'clock, half seven.
Was it worth missing the bash for?
No, never. Oh. Never worth missing the bash for.
See.
But they paid me for it. Can't moan too much.
Going back to the week in tech, Jufro Jim says, Microsoft are really looking on the subscription. Is this part of a pay-as-you-go model? Yes. Sounds it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah,
everything else is going subscription. Why not this?
Yeah, no, totally agree. You've been listening then?
I have. I've been doing his bedroom floor, stroking the back of his head with headphones in, watching you all on my phone.
Stroking the back of his head with
headphones. Yeah, just got from, and whispering, get to sleep, you little... Gently.
Softly. Never mind. They're all sent to try us. Plain and
absolutely.
Simple. Plain and simple. Good story, Jeff. I've got to say, I mean, you've always said this is not the Microsoft of my youth, which is a positive. But is this a hit or a miss, boys? From you know, Chris said, you know, they would get to this and they would walk away from it if they thought it was, you know, not going to work. They're not afraid to walk away from stuff. We saw with again after 2 weeks. But is this a catastrophic error on our part? Won't do it or not?
I think they're ultimately going to walk away from it.
Yeah, I think so. You boys agree?
I think that they'll walk it back. They might not walk away from it. It'll go through a few iterations before they do that. I think they might change the pricing model, or they might maybe clarify the conversation. But yeah, I could see them eventually walking away from it.
I don't know. It's a bit early for me to make a decision or call on that one way or the other, because clearly they saw something here to make them create that model in the first place. So yeah, we don't know what they're looking at yet, and so
it might not be money.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a little too early, but clearly there's something there for them.
So the other thing as well is, if you don't pay the money, is it going to stop interacting with Cortana or something like that, and then you won't be able to do your voice control, and that'll really piss you off?
There doesn't seem to be any data or any information on that. It seems to say that the services themselves, the service will stop working that updates it, but it doesn't say any further how it would harm or change, or whether it would change anything else in the way that your IoT devices would work.
So Atlee, you're a new boy. It's okay. When I say, what do you think, boys? I don't want the truth.
Oh, okay.
You can make up any crap you like. It's fine. Camps, anything to add with your HDR screen on there?
I've just been peeing around with webcam settings.
No shit, Sherlock.
I probably didn't catch every single thing you were talking about, but I think Microsoft gotta give it to them. They're giving it a go. I don't think they're too scared to try some things nowadays. I'm not convinced it'll stay. I think Atlee's probably got it right in that they might play around with the pricing and stuff, but I don't think it's here to stay.
Chat room says it makes sense for B2B companies signing up to make their products and services more sticky. And Jufro Jim says the MS leeching days are over. I just think, because it's like, okay, if you pay the update fees, then we'll make sure you get security updates. If you don't, then your IoT device is hack friendly.
No, I don't think that Microsoft would do that, because I think even for old devices that they're not carrying anymore, they're not really doing that. I mean, you're still getting updates on a Windows XP and Windows 7 and stuff like that. Windows XP, if you're paying for it as a corporation, but Windows 7 still getting security updates and things like that, even though they're not doing any other big updates. I think it would do them much more harm to leave something open to security hacks, because it would just show the whole platform as being insecure. So it does them more harm. I think it's something more along the feature line than the security line.
Good. I'd be glad to hear that, definitely. Jim says, I still remember the days I found the Windows 95 backdoor activation code. Apparently it was 123456789012 exclamation mark. I don't know if the exclamation mark was in or not. Yeah, I want to say something as well. Kudos to Vista, because I did an FTP upload to our servers today of some work that I'd done with the sensor cameras over the last 2 days. And there was 81,000 files that had to be uploaded. And I woke up this morning and it had done 30,000 files, and it had got to a conflict and went, what do you want me to do here? I'm like, I want you to carry on with the other 50,000, please. That would have been great. And Vista used to do that. Vista used to do all the files, and then it used to say, what do you want me to do with these 10 conflicts? And you dealt with them separately. And kudos to Vista. It was the best file transfer system ever made. Ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. If there's only one good thing that came from Vista, it was that file transfer system. I have no idea why they didn't keep it.
The Finder is just a bag of shit in comparison. Absolute bag of shit.
Yeah.
Apple are going to stand up in a few years and do like a big keynote and go, we've made Finder intelligent. Now it's going to do all the transfers and it's going to save the conflicts to last. And we go, you're just Sherlocking Vista, bastards.
But isn't that their business model?
Why is it taking you 15 years as well?
Well, that's their business model. Come out with something 3 or 4 years behind people, and then tell your sheeple that that you invented it, and everybody oohs and ahs. They all run off to the store.
So was sheeple deliberate, or was that a real euphemism that you just invented?
No, that's a real euphemism. I didn't invent it. That's what people have been calling Apple clients for a long time.
Why the hell are you running Vista, says Jufra Jim? No, I'm not. I had a Vista machine years ago. It was really good. So, with file transfer, that's all I'm saying. Job done. Who's got the next story then, chaps?
Well, I've got one here. This is actually in your neck of the woods.
But you seem to think that if you just say you've got a story, it's your turn. It's the rules are whoever gets it in the chat room fastest, mate, is quids in.
Then I just put mine in, so I won.
This is the problem, mate. You're on a British podcast, so everyone here has been really, really British, and once you started talking, they let you.
I apologize.
That's all right, mate.
That's true. They even let me talk.
I will be quiet.
This is a picture of something that's submerged. Explain.
So Microsoft has submerged a giant data center off the coast of Scotland.
Yeah, because we're cold. The water's really frigging cold. That's why.
The water's really cold, and it'll help manage heat and everything else. And if they were to couple these data centers with some sort of wave energy harvesting, they could really have, I think, something fantastic for the future of data storage and long-term computing. I think that it's a great idea. Just wondering how it will survive and how it will live and how it will affect the ecosystem long term. That's my big concern, is how is this going to touch the ecosystem? But apparently this is something that they're experimenting with, and they're looking at how it works and how it manages its duties, and then basically looking at putting these in some of the more highly populated coastal areas of the world to do large data transfers and to offer as CDNs, so large data storages for services, especially through Azure.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have thought, actually, that this would be a bit of a reef within quite a short space of time, because the other problem they've got is that the sea is generally corrosive anyway because of the amount of salt that's in it. If you keep it submerged, then fair enough, but even as a metal hull, I don't think these things are going to last particularly long.
I'm sure I've read an article on this where I think it's a 10-year life that they're saying it will have. That's 10 years.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But an article I read elsewhere, I'm just frantically looking for it now.
I'm looking for it.
A lot of the environmentalists are saying, where's your decommission plan for this? Where is your intention in 10 years' time when this data center needs replacing or needs decommissioning? What is your plan to lift it out without damaging the damaging the environmental areas that it's in? Obviously, the concept, this particular thing, I believe, is a concept at the minute, but the idea going forward is that they can have multiple dozens, tens, hundreds of these all down there, and how they're going to lift them without damaging the ecosystem.
Well, yeah, if you start putting things into the ocean floor system for 10 years at a time and then yanking them out, you're going to be yanking apart ecosystems. And so I'm kind of curious in what their thought is on this and how they plan on, you know, handling that scenario. And realistically, they say that it has a lifespan of 10 years, but what shape is it in those 10 years? Are we talking about parts of it have rotted out, or is that, you know, it can come out in 10 years with perfect hull integrity and, you know, hopefully nothing will have leaked into the water or cause any issues. I'm curious to see sort of what the long-term effect of this is.
Yeah.
They're basically a big submarine, though, aren't they? So they're not going to leak. But the trouble is they can't get into them to repair them because they take all the air out as well.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, they're essentially vacuum sealed. But on this article, it's saying that you can fit 12 racks, so 864 servers in one unit. That's pretty impressive, is that? There's some computing power that they're sealing up and putting down there.
But I did read another article about there's some problem powering it because Orkney hasn't got the infrastructure to power it. But
yeah,
because it's quite a remote place.
Yeah,
well, they said the area is what the biggest areas for wind power. So the whole city has more than enough power just by wind alone, but then they also have the turbine and solar as well. Man, this is pretty cool. Wow.
Yeah,
well,
if they can make
it's a very cool thing, and I really like the idea. But like I said, my concern is the environmental impact.
Yeah.
Go on, Chris.
I think just to jump on what Ali said, then I think if they can minimize the environmental impact, if they can show a good, strong decommission plan that's not going to impact the ecosystem down there, they could really be onto a winner here. Because I'm assuming the fact that they can hold that many servers means it's got some sort of built-in DR capability, that not all 864 servers within those 12 racks will be live production, that they may be split over several servers. So you can afford a percentage failure in there, and it'll just revert straight to an alternative server, either within the same unit or another unit elsewhere, just to keep services up and running. So actually, how many of those servers are live at any one time, I think would be a good point to understand.
I mean, the other thing is that the sea is incredibly corrosive. They reckon that Titanic won't be there in another 100 years. It'll just be a film of rust across the surface of the ground where it currently is. And you would say that, okay, it's got a 10-year lifespan. What's the biodegradable lifespan of it? And it's probably 50 years, 40 years. Mm. And then what has it got in it that you don't want to get out? Because there's got to be a coolant system in there, surely? Because they're not going to let cold water run around the boards. So the coolant system has got to be bringing in thermal exchange from the outside to the inside. And if you've then got a coolant system that goes through a thermal exchange, the last thing you want is that leaking. So how are you ensuring? There is a lot of questions environmentally. Atlee's dead right there.
I also wonder about the viability of, they're saying it has a 10-year lifespan, but 10 years might as well be 100 years in computing. What use are these computers in 10 years?
Well, I don't think they're meant to be there. After
it looks
year,
like, though. You know, one of the examples they gave was the fact that they could store, you know, millions of movie files on there. So, but I could see maybe a military installation with something like this. You know, I've talked to customers who often have to deploy in the middle of a desert, you know, and they, you know, I've talked to friends who actually go out and set up the computer systems and got to install everything. So perhaps this could then extend to, you know, more of the Navy side where they got to go out and they have some much more computing they need to do. You know, they drop one of these things in the area where they're going to be stationed, and you know, they have much more computing power than they would normally have.
I wonder what sort of security they'll put around these as well. If you look at any sort of major data center, they've usually got several perimeter protection.
Sure.
What they got in the sea? What are Microsoft going to put around this?
That's going to cut out the average person from breaking into it. But yeah, I mean, you need a pretty big rig to be able to manage it. I would imagine it'd have to have some sort of detection of motion or movement.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking sharks with lasers, man.
I was thinking that.
There you go.
But you can't actually get, you won't be able to physically get in, otherwise you'll flood it.
Well, that was my thought. Is it's like someone goes, oh, there's a board gone down. Are we going to just swap a board out and put another board in? No.
Can't get in.
Nah, they'll just have some sort of
redundancy,
some sort of failover in there. You can go buy a Dell server now, which has got auto failover for power supply units and boards and stuff like that in it. So all these apps.
But I would imagine with the number of computers in there, that's the failover themselves, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This is the biggest RAID array you've ever seen.
Yeah, there's only actually one server in there, but there's 863 backups.
Yeah.
RAID 1 million.
I was out with the guy today, and the guy said, he said, what do you mean backup? I said, I did a backup of our server. And he went, well, why would you do that? Because you should back up your stuff. And he went, no, he said, it's in the cloud now. It's automatically backed up, isn't it? No.
Not unless he's using the cloud to full cloud service.
3-2-1, mate. You don't that? 3 backups, 2 data forms, 1 offsite. No, we don't do that. It's just all stored up there.
We've got it in Dropbox.
Oh, even worse. I've had stuff disappear out of there.
Bad luck, man.
What if Dropbox goes bump in the night?
Here's the data you used to have. Because they're pissing off customers left, right, and centre. There won't be a company there for soon, along with them. I had someone sent me some stuff for a film. Could you make this into a film? Yeah, no worries, send it over. They sent it over and it was like, oh, don't send it via Dropbox, send it via WeTransfer. Why? Because Dropbox wants me to sign up. And then if I don't sign up, it says you've got to download the app. And it's just like, I hate Dropbox. It's the work of the frigging devil. It's just disgusting. Stay away from it. Dropbox, if you're listening, you want to sponsor us, piss off. Not interested. In fact, awesome. I'd rather have frigging MacKeeper sponsor us than frigging Dropbox.
Herpes.
Assholes. You absolute...
That's really saying something.
Scourge of the planet. There we go. If you're listening from Dropbox, I do mean that as well. Don't sue me. Who's got the next story then? I did say at the start of the show I've been drinking all day, so I reckon I can get away with that one in a court. TechCrunch, Facebook. They're not doing well at the moment, are they, Facebook? It has to be said.
And they're going to pee the youth of the world off now. So Facebook and Instagram are now going to be a little bit more proactive in locking out users, accounts for any users that moderators find and identify as being under their age limit of 13. So there's a few different routes that's kicked this off, but this article quotes the Channel 4 documentary where a journalist joined Facebook's content reviewing team in Ireland. And whilst they're identified that obviously Facebook don't take any sort of formal identification to prove that somebody's over the age of 13. It's simply a tick box as you join either Facebook or Instagram. And they're turning a blind eye to it, I suppose, is a short side of it. If they see something on there that appears that somebody's under 13, unless somebody's actually proving, evidencing that person's under 13, they just let it go through, and that's the end of it. Whereas now they're going to start clamping down on this. And what this article's telling us is that Facebook are now going to be a little bit more vigilant if they, through any form in terms of their content reviewing, see an account that they believe to be underage, they will block it and they will ask the user to provide ID to regain access to it. Equally, if users start changing their date of birth within Instagram or Facebook, they will block it and want validation of their age as well. So I think Facebook, as a parent of a 7-year-old who's now starting to ask for Instagram, I think I'm happy that they're trying to do stuff like this. However, it's going to pee an awful lot of under 13s off who have active accounts at the moment if this touches them. Don't know if that's the wrong phrase I should have said at the end there.
I there's a bit that bothers me in the fact that my son's age of consent is 16 in law, but everyone's going, oh no, he can make his own decisions at 13. No, he can't. I'm there to oversee his safety until he's 16, then he can do what the hell he likes. So don't tell me you can lock me out because he's over 13, US.
Well, I'm just thinking that 13 seems really, really young. I agree with you. 13 seems really, really young for people to be able to start social media accounts because that stuff is there forever. And I mean, hell, 16 is still too young and too stupid to really be doing it in most cases. But I don't know. Yeah, it's scary stuff. I'm really glad my kids aged out before this stuff all came in.
So am I. Glad that I passed me by.
I mean, there's a great point here from G4 Jim in the chat room. He says, provide ID, what the fudge? And we had a thing this week. Ellis wanted Destiny 2 because it was on special offer at Tesco's. I said, yeah, go for it. You know, if you want to spend your money on that, it's up to you. So he walked over and he said, I want Destiny 2. And he took it over to Karen and they said, you got ID? No. Why have you not got ID? Because it's a 16 game. Excuse me. My son is...
Wait, seriously?
Seriously. My son is 6'1". He's 15 years old. He's got a beard when he doesn't shave. It's not very strong, I admit, but it's a little bit of bum fluff. But
I'm going to tell him later.
But he knows. He sees it when he tries to shave it off, mate, and it just bends over with the razor. But the...
he could use your Mac.
He might have to. But he went over and they said, no, you've got to be 16 to buy this. Without ID, you can't buy it. And I went over and got it for him. And I was just like, why would you ask me son for it? He's under 16. Yeah, okay, but it's not a legal requirement. It's not like it's alcohol. It's an advisory thing. And also, he's 15. He's clearly 15 at least. Why would you do this? And what ID is he going to show? At 16, there is no ID to show. So if you said they're going to block your account until you show ID, what ID? You've got no driver's license till you're 17. You've got nothing that IDs you as a 15-year-old. Doesn't exist. Yeah.
You can get a driver's license at 16.
Just to challenge it, there's passports, but not everybody has a passport. Is there anything in the US, Jeff? Or
yeah, you can actually have an ID. You can get a regular ID. Here, at least in where I live, you can actually drive at age 16 and you can have a permit at 15. So there are IDs you can have that show your age and information here. Yeah.
But still nothing between 13 and 15 or 16?
I think
other than a passport?
No,
I'm not sure what the earliest age you can get the ID at.
In Colorado, you can get an ID younger than 15, your parents or guardians end up getting involved in the process, you know, which makes sense, sure, because you're a kid. So there are options, at least in Colorado. The thing with proving who you are with Facebook and Instagram and so many of these other social network services is that it's really creepy because they want a copy of your official state ID. And in many cases, you're like faxing it off to someplace or taking a photograph and just emailing it to someone. I mean, that's stupid.
That's just asking for identity theft.
Want. Yeah.
I mean, you can get a driving license at 16. I think people forget you can ride a moped under, it used to be 50cc. They quote it in power now, horsepower. But so kids actually can ride a moped if they can actually afford the insurance, which is usually cost more than the moped. So they could get a driving license.
Yeah. Still, that's stupid.
But it's still, there's still that gap between 13 and 16 there. And there's only the passport that I know of that you can get.
Birth certificate.
In the UK.
Birth certificate.
Yeah, they probably could have just did better and say you have to have a parent, you know, help you. Yeah. If they need confirmation, go with a parent or link it to a parent account. I think that would have probably been a better approach than just go get an ID.
Well, there's a question here from Deepan. He says, why are Facebook putting age restrictions on when kids aren't even joining Facebook anyway because all their bloody parents are on it?
I think this is a scenario. This is a join up of Facebook, Instagram and Messenger, isn't it? The unifying things across the board. And now that Instagram are linking in, I think it's on an opt-in process, but now Instagram are linking into Messenger, that creates the loop for direct contact as well. To people that you're following or people that follow you. So I can understand as a parent, if my child's using Instagram and pushes the button to allow them to be openly contacted via Messenger, that would worry me. Mm-hmm. So I can understand age restrictions on that. But yeah, Facebook, since parents started joining Facebook, the kids have all gone.
I like the fact that Bob Beach is saying what's a fax when actually he was part of the team that caught Dr. Crippin with a transatlantic telegraph message. You can't fool me. You bragged about that, Beach. Don't you dare.
Next time you talk about semaphore.
That'd be silly, Muller. I don't know. So there's an awful lot of grief going around. I mean, Facebook's in the news as well this week, aren't they, with about the anti-Holocaust movement. They said that people who were saying that the Holocaust movement was not real should have a voice on Facebook. And I'm appalled at that, I have to say.
Have they done that to just try and trump Elon Musk, though, this week?
What's Elon done?
Oh, God.
This week, Elon.
Oh, my God.
The diver.
Pedophile.
They called him a pedophile, yeah.
Who?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. that British bloke who took the first picture of the kids. He called him a perv.
In Thailand.
Yeah. Elon Musk. You know,
yeah.
Called the British photographer a perv.
The diver who found the kids first and took a photograph and was talking to him. Elon left a submarine there, and the bloke said, "It's stupid, it won't work." And it angered him, so he had a little face-off and called him a pervert over the internet.
Holy crap. Yeah,
the word he actually used was pedophile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Purely
because Musk wanted that diver to use his submarine to get those kids out. British diver with a lot of experience says that submarine will not go through the channel available.
Elon, I've got a tape, mate. I've done pi r squared and it don't fit.
Yeah. And Elon wasn't too happy with it, so yeah.
And then he left that one of those things with a drill on the front. You could drill down to him.
Elon, don't be an over leveraged wanker, mate.
Yeah, he got mad.
Jeez.
He got mad. Now, interesting, he has not been asked to step down as CEO of any of his companies.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, what has he done really? I mean, that would.
He's called a British hero, a paedophile, mate. We'd have gone to war over that 40 years ago.
Yeah, it's
that's nothing today. Sorry.
I think he should step down.
Have you seen
regardless of whatever good stuff he might be doing, that was crossing a line. It's like when the Papa John guy
be careful what you say because we don't. Don't make sure it's a clean dough story. Go on.
So about a year ago, about 8 months ago, the Papa John's Pizza CEO said that he was disappointed with the NFL because of the kneeling, and they were allowing it, and it was costing him business because people were boycotting the games, and as such, they were boycotting his pizzas. So he took a lot of heat for that, as he should have. One has nothing to do with the other. And stories started to kind of come out that that perhaps some of the owners who were not happy with the current commissioner was using him as a means to kind of make him look bad so that they could, because his contract was coming up for negotiation. So he kind of had to step into the background. And then recently he was on a call and he was trying to make the worst point on earth and ended up using the N-word on the call.
What?
Saying like in the old days, you know, blacks were dragged through the streets and he used the word, I don't remember the exact context, but he was trying to make say that what he said wasn't that bad in comparison to these things that were done before. And they're like, out of here. You got to get out of here. And so now, two times in the last, in under a year.
Yeah, I mean, Gilbert Grape? Oh, what's it, DiCaprio. You got DiCaprio using it in Django Unchained, then it's in context. But
there isn't another
way that you can use that.
You can't drop that word to make your dumb point that wasn't that bad in the first place when you shouldn't have been running your mouth at all.
I'll tell you what, I don't use Papa John's anymore because they didn't live in my sodding pizza on Christmas Day a couple of years ago when I was working in the middle of nowhere. If I'd have known about that stuff, I wouldn't have even ordered it.
Oh, man. Papa John's is terrible.
They are. They're awful.
Absolutely
terrible. I rang them up, right? They didn't deliver my pizza on Christmas Day. And it was because they came to the Premier Inn and they said to the reception, "We've got a pizza here for Mr. So-and-so." And they went, "Well, we're not allowed to tell you which room he's in."
Oh, boy.
And it's like, well, okay, why have I just ordered a pizza? Because I want the friggin' pizza. Both of you are serving me. Why aren't you sorting this out between you? Leave it with us.
I won't just call up to my room and say, "Come down and get your pizza."
So in the end, the Papa John's guy went, "Okay, I'm not leaving it. I'm taking it." So he took it back. And I rang the shop. "Where's my friggin' pizza?" "They wouldn't let us deliver it, so we're not delivering it." "Okay, where's my refund?" "We're not giving you a refund because we came out with a pizza." Right, okay. So I wrote to Papa John's and said, "Oi, give me my refund." And they said, "Oh, well, it was a franchise, you see. It's not us. so we can't get the money back off them because it's a franchise. And I'm like, you wankers. So I just wrote to PayPal and said, they didn't deliver the pizza, give me money back. And within 20 minutes, PayPal had gone, yep, no problem, here you go.
Nice.
That's why I use PayPal for everything.
Wankers. Django's an awesome film, says Jufro Jim. He's right.
Not a fan of Jamie Foxx. I still refuse to watch it.
Oh, it's the blood bit at the end is pretty gruesome.
Maybe at some point I'll check it out.
Yeah,
I have to say. I still haven't seen it. I don't know. I just
I've not seen it yet.
It's on Prime. Or it was. Might have come off now.
Microsoft Teams get a free version, says Chris Lashley.
Mm. Yes, so this is a pretty cool. I'm sorry if I took your story.
No, it's fine. I think we did cover that. We covered it in Facebook. Yeah, it's fine.
This is a pretty cool because I've actually, in my company that I work at, they're starting to roll out Teams, and I like the idea of it, especially, you know, if anybody doesn't know what Teams is, it's essentially Slack, Microsoft's version of Slack, except it has a lot of integration with the Microsoft services, you know, specifically Office 365, but then, and if you don't know what Slack is, basically both these solutions are meant to somewhat replace email. You know, it allows you to, instead of sending emails back and forth, and then later on you're like, oh man, what was that email that had this specific information? And you kind of keep everything in with your team in a threaded conversation, which you can just go back and search through that entire thread. So you can paste in pictures. If you need to do an impromptu meeting, you can just launch the meeting right through there. However, the meeting then leverages some of the other Microsoft services like Link, and everybody gets access through the groups that exist in Office 365. So it's kind of a front end to a bunch of services that Microsoft provides. So, but one of the problems with, even though it's taken off in the enterprise world, I think they said they had like upwards of 200,000 customers leveraging Teams, it still wasn't that household name like Slack is to some extent. So what they're doing now is they've created a free offering version of Teams where they've actually offered quite a huge set of features with this free version. So they said they support up to, I think it's 300 users. Right. You can search 10 gigs of storage, 2 gigs of personal space, integration with 140 apps. I think you can search all the messages where Slack limits you to 10,000 of the most recent messages.
And you've only got 5 gig of storage of files, et cetera, as well. Or not even that, so 500 meg or something like that. Because we top out against the files thing regularly every few weeks. And I've got to say, there's a bit in the story here that's on TechCrunch that says the Slack competitor has been kicking around in some form or another since late 2016, but the $60 a year fee is likely to make a non-starter for small businesses. $60 a year is nothing. Nothing. I thought it would be a month.
Yeah, that's not bad. I read that line in the TechCrunch, I was like, is that really a hard
I can drink $60. I've drunk $60 today.
And the rest.
Yeah, and the rest. I've drunk yours and my business's $60 today.
But overall, I think this is a good thing. I'm pretty happy that Microsoft is doing this because as an individual, I want to actually start using Teams more. When you start looking at how the threaded conversations can go, you know, I'll just give an example. I have a dev team that's out of the country and they're in a different time zone. And you know, when I'm trying to coordinate with them and sometimes just get information back and forth. And then as I mentioned earlier, it's like, sometimes it's like, oh, I need this piece of information we had in this email thread. Now I got to go back and search this email thread. Then I got to put together with the, you know, something else from another email thread. And having that all in one interface where we can, you know, communicate and express these ideas on how we should develop our product, to me is very appealing. Pretty cool and pretty that they're doing this.
Excellent.
Yeah, I use Teams at work and absolutely love it. We've been writing working on a document recently, and there's been two of us in West Yorkshire, a guy in London and a guy in Edinburgh working on the same document at the same time, all through Teams. with a video chat open and saving the documents as we were going to OneDrive. And I know you can do this in other platforms as well, but correcting some of his spelling mistakes while I was working on it. And one of the guys had it working on a Surface Hub in one of the sites. I think that was in one of the London sites. Really, really worked well across the collaboration and that was all within the Teams app that we used it. If they're bringing that in that feature set for free, then small businesses have got to be jumping all over it.
Yeah. If you've never had a chance to mess around with a Surface Hub, that thing is just super, super cool, man.
Yeah.
Jeez.
There's no one slags off the Surface Hub.
That's like
a
big TV screen that it's essentially a PC that's like a 65-inch monitor.
Digital whiteboard and everything on it.
I mean, yes, it is one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, Muller's saying, Campion, there's no I in team. Yes, there is, if you do a capital A.
And look hard enough,
yeah. Skype isn't long of this world, says Deep Pan. Now team is getting pushed out more.
Yep. Agree.
But Skype is a Microsoft program, so I don't know why they do that.
Well, they're killing the desktop client for the Windows client.
Right. And the rest of us can't sing loud enough in the praise of killing Skype.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I will not shed a tear when Skype is finally gone.
Well, we will, because we won't see you, Jeff. You're the only one that's got lip sync tonight. On Discord.
Yeah, sorry about that. But I cannot figure out why Skype...
But you're on Discord.
...does calls. Right. Well, I know I am on Discord, but yeah. There's no rhyme or reason to why Skype doesn't work right on my computer. I've even uninstalled the app, all the support files, reinstalled everything, still can't send or receive calls.
Have you noticed how slick mine is tonight, Ewan? They'll probably all drop off in a minute.
Come on. What have you done to yours, Camps?
I've gone wireless.
I thought you'd say you'd
got rid of the wire. I just upgraded Sky to Sky Q this week, and they sent a new router through. And the new router just seems to be really, really impressive. I'm working wireless off it, and I can take my iPad pretty much to the end of the street and maintain full connectivity. It's doing great as this new hub.
Perfect for filming those ad hoc things that happen in Leeds streets.
Absolutely.
Excellent, mate.
And uploading them on Move.
Definitely. Muller's story. Brace yourself. Video self-driving vehicles that soon deliver your groceries.
Yeah, this is, we've all seen the stories about Amazon and their drones, and there's been a Chinese company started and it took off and crashed into a wall almost immediately?
This is a follow-on from my robot pizza delivery truck that I brought in about six months ago that you all laughed out.
Yeah.
Which still isn't here, though, Camps, to be fair.
It still isn't here. That's because all the pizzas on Christmas Day went to the wrong Premier Inn.
No, that's because everyone was kneeling down and they forgot to order the pizzas from Papa John's.
I'm surprised they were open. Yeah, it is actually, because I was thinking about that, about the pizza companies in the UK with those little trucks, because that appeared on Click. They did a little bit on Click about it. But this one seems to be more advanced. If you look, it's quite a large vehicle. The guy is standing up, and it looks almost as tall as him, so it looks like it...
I get the impression from looking at that, and this is just because it's not a moving vehicle, it's just a stage thing, but... It looks like it moves really frigging slow.
It probably
that
would.
That might be its saving grace.
Yeah. But you can imagine Ocado sending out these. They have little hubs everywhere, sending them out, particularly in places like Solihull, where you have a lot of people using it.
I was going to say, they send them to Castle Vale, they'll all be on the side within 30 minutes.
Castle Vale's very nice these days, I'll have you know.
No, it's not.
It is. It's a lot better than it used to be.
There's enough people in there who want to push these on their side.
They would probably be very heavy, though, wouldn't they? And they'd probably have some sort of alarm. Anyway, that's a beside. It's certainly an interesting thing, isn't it? But then again, it's going to take jobs, isn't it?
And you they all have Johnny cab drivers.
Could you imagine? Would they need it?
That'd be awesome.
Well, it's going to be in America first, anyway. a retailing chain called Kroger. I don't know who they...
Kroger, mate. They sell XL tall T-shirts. They're brilliant. The rest of the stuff they sell
Kroger
is crap.
Kroger is like the largest grocery retail conglomerate in the United States.
So
Kroger getting in on this, that bodes well for this technology because there's good money behind it. As far as taking jobs, no. At least not in the United States. The number of people that would lose a job as a grocery delivery driver to something like this is negligible.
Mm. It's a growing thing over here.
I said it would move slowly. Look at it. It's got a license plate.
Well, it would have to go on the road, wouldn't it?
No. Under certain speed limits, you don't need a license, do you? Under 12 miles per hour.
In the United States, if it's going to be on the roads, in most states, it has to have a license plate.
What about a Segway?
Segway is classified differently.
I'm saying
it's classified like a bicycle or something like that. Couldn't take up a whole lane and not have a license plate.
Right, okay.
No, I'm not in Canada anyway. So.
Type in your passcode.
It'd be better if you had your iPhone. You just put your iPhone near it and it would detect the NFC chip or something.
Apple Pay. And it paid for it at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
The Windows boys are upset now. We said Apple in the big show. I'm not allowed.
Yeah. But it probably runs Android, to be fair, so because it's ex-Google execs, isn't it? Or somebody that worked for Google. But it looks an interesting thing. I can't see them coming to Britain anytime soon, so America will probably have them first. A few people will die, and then they'll develop them better, and they'll have them over here.
Jamie Foxx is brilliant as Ray Charles, says Bob Beach. Couldn't disagree more. I couldn't agree more. Superb. Strong anti-drug film as well. Very good. I let my daughter watch it at 9, and she was like, what's he doing? And I told her, and she said, but won't that make him bad? Yes, it does.
Yes.
And it's a very good anti-drug film. Let your kids watch it. Well, not for all of it, maybe. Won't a flood of these increase congestion? Yes. Good point. Thank you.
You know, I don't see them increasing congestion, really, because the number of people that are doing grocery deliveries here is pretty small overall. So we'll actually end up, if these take off, we'll end up with smaller vehicles on the road for the deliveries.
See, I have a problem with grocery delivery in general. For myself, for non-perishables, sure, send me my grocery delivery. But I want to go and pick the meat, pick the vegetables, pick that stuff myself. I don't necessarily trust somebody else's judgment on what I would choose as a good piece of veg or good.
That is exactly what my wife says. She will not, in the main, use grocery delivery because of the quality of the fruit and veg that we always get through.
I have to say, if you get it, when I worked for Ocado, you got better stuff because the stuff wasn't handled by members of the public throwing it around. You actually got better stuff, and the meat was better because they could buy it in quantities and know they'd sell it. And the meat was absolutely fantastic quality because I had a few of it. So
I haven't seen that here yet, but yeah, if that were the case, then yes, I'd be happy with it. But no.
Oh yeah, some of the meat was really good, and they bring it in, and because they know how much they're going to sell, because they got predictor, they can actually bring it in, and you're probably getting stuff that's a lot fresher than you get, and everything was temperature controlled as well. So, I worked for them for 6 months, so I know how careful they were with the temperature controlled stuff. Really, because it was freezing when I was working, and it was even cold. It was up to -30 in some parts of the factory.
The thing is that, I mean, picking meat isn't just like, it's got to be like the right especially for barbecuing and things like that. You want the right marbling. You want the right, the right size of the piece of meat for the what you're trying to get.
Did proper butchering courses if you wanted them. So they trained all their butchers, and it was really good. I mean, I saw the quality of the stuff, and it was really good. What you got was top notch.
I asked my local butcher if they would let me hang out and kind of intern there. Yeah, because that's something that's always interested me. In,
well, now you're not a big dude. They might let you. I think before they were worrying they'd have no stock left. But.
One for you, one for me.
A lot of money in that place, so.
That's funny.
As someone who works in that industry, it's the number one complaint, says Ian Lewis. You need to tell us what that one complaint is, though, mate, because I don't understand.
That's the complaint about the
meat and
the
veg.
Fruit,
right,
okay. The fruit and veg picking your own. Obviously, Ian works in logistics for grocery deliveries.
Someone.
Yeah. But they do it differently. I mean, Ocado do it in big sites, and all the stuff goes. I mean, for instance, where I was working,
it's not a bolt onto a supermarket.
No, it's not. Yeah. And it literally, there's one here up in the Midlands, and there's one down in London that deals with the Southeast. So we would pick all the food. And we were supplying the Midlands right down to Bristol, up to all Yorkshire, Manchester, Liverpool, right up to Darlaston and up there. In fact, they were on about building one up north when it got a bit more popular. I think it was going to be built in Manchester.
I think there is one. It's halfway. I think it's sort of Halifax type area.
Yeah, they were on about there, but they were just waiting for it to take off because obviously we also did. They were starting the Morrisons delivery, so Morrisons do it in a similar way. So they deal Morrisons and Ocado stuff, which is basically Waitrose. Stuff comes out of these big picking areas and then delivers it all over. But where some of the smaller places, like where he works, it's literally got people walking around and getting under your feet in the supermarket, picking it off the shelves. Because I've complained to Tesco's about that, you know. So only all stores, and it's a misery to walk around. You can't get past the plumbing staff picking deliveries off the shelves. But Ocado, it was mostly done by robots. It was fascinating to watch it. The robots would be running up and down the rails. They'd drop the food to you, put it in the basket. It would tell you where in the basket to put it as well, so that all the cartons were all evenly matched in weight. The frozen stuff come down in specially frozen things, and you'd load the vans in a certain way so the frozen stuff was at the back. It was really scientific how they did it, and it was amazing to watch. It was certainly a good 6 months. I'm glad I left because it was hard work, but it was an interesting 6 months. But I think that's...
They probably got annoyed that you were just standing and watching and not actually doing any of the work.
Oh, mate, you were monitored how much work you were doing. I did do the picking run once. It was quite good because it would literally, you'd have this thing on your arm and it would tell you where to go. There'd be a light flashing where you got to pick the stuff up from. And then you'd put it in the basket, tell the basket you'd put it in, and it would go. And you could watch it going around the carousels, you know, till when it was full, it would go down to the delivery area. And then when they got all the delivery for the one van, that would disappear downstairs to go onto the lorry or the van. It's fascinating watching it.
Excellent, mate.
Did they call you stupid when you put it in the wrong basket?
You can't, because the basket comes in front of you, tells you, and it knows when you put it in. So if you've put it in the wrong basket, well, you can't, because it comes in front of you.
And it knows the weight of the item.
Yeah,
well,
and you have to scan it before you put it in the bag.
Yeah.
So it knows you put it in the bag, and then there's like a weighing scale, so it knows you put it in the bag. So if you put it in the wrong bag, it tells you to take it out and put it in the right bag.
Very good. Now then, we've got something to announce here. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Have you ever heard of Ooh Review?
Ooh?
Ooh, OOH, review.com. So my friend owns this. He's a good lad, Steve. He's a wonderful guy. And he said, why don't you use this for the podcast? And I said, all right, what does Ooh Review do? He said, it's kind of like Trustpilot, except we don't charge you a fortune. And all you have to do is attach the Ooh Review thing to your website, and you can put reviews up that people leave you. So you can do the iTunes review type thing, but what can happen here is that people can review every single episode. So I said, yeah, go on then, sign us up, mate. So he signed up British Tech Network. So if you go to Ooh Review, OOHReview.com/British Tech Network, then you'll come across this page, and it says to you, right, you want to give anonymous customer feedback to British Tech Network. So it makes you sign up with your email address, and you're kind of like, whoa, hang on a second, it's not anonymous if I've got my email address. Yes, it is, because they keep your email address away from us. What happens is that you go on, you pick the episodes that you watched, and you review just that episode. And we get an anonymous review through via email. And this is the really cool bit, is instead of it just being an anonymous review, someone goes, Ewan is a bastard, and walks off, I can actually write back to them and go, well, okay, but why do you think I'm a bastard? And they will get my reply, but I will never know their email address. How cool is that?
That is pretty cool.
That is really cool. So people can review your service constantly, keep their anonymity, and instead of just being like, the thing I said to him, it's like, so the person comes in and they go, I didn't like the soup, so I'm never coming back anymore. They can say, I didn't like the soup, and you can say, well, okay, why didn't you like the soup? Too much salt. Okay, well, let's put less salt in it then. You can respond. It's like almost like a focus group for your services. So now I want everyone, if you possibly can, go to ooreview.com/BritishTechNetwork, sign up for it, navigate to the episode for tonight, because it'll be up there when it's posted, and say, I watched the episode and I didn't like the audio quality. I watched the episode and didn't like the video quality. I thought the topics were a bit lame. I thought the topics were great. And you can score us 1 to 5 and say what you think about each individual episode rather than just being a general review that you never update on iTunes. How cool is that?
That's really cool.
And it's available the world over. So if anyone wants to buy it and have a use of it, this is the best. How much do you think that's going to cost you a month?
£1 million.
No, 60 quid. So you can sign up for a review and you get 60 quid per usage. So we've got the British Tech Network and we've got two main shows. We've got reviews and blogs that come along as well. So we've got like 10 services that you can review, but it doesn't cost us 600 quid a month. It costs us 60 quid a month because we're just British Tech Network. That's it.
Nice.
It's a brilliant service. Nice. I'm really impressed with it. So look it up, check out OoReview, use it on your own services. If you're someone who does a computer tech, you can get your customers to review how good your technology stuff was. And then the other thing is that you can cherry pick reviews and put them on your website in a column and just tick, I want this one, I want this one. As you review the reviews that people are giving you on the web interface, you can then say, I want these to appear on my website. And the code there is already placed in your website and it automatically just updates the reviews that you want to pick and put on.
Nice.
So it's really, really cool. Check it out, ooreview.com. Also, please check out our main sponsors, because first one we've got is TSO Host. TSOhost.com have dived in and saved our bacon with the services that we can get for hosting. They have taken over superbly. We are about to switch over the live server this week, and then we're going to switch over the main services hopefully within the next couple of weeks. And TSO Hosts have saved us. They really have. So please, if you want to keep this network around, then you need to make sure that you get the people who sponsor us to appreciate that you appreciate them. So just a tweet out that says, thank you at TSO Host for supporting At British Tech. Just do that every week, and that would make a massive difference to TSO Host, and it'll ensure that they're around. There are offer codes coming. There are transfer codes coming that will get you great deals to move your services over TSO Hosts. Just bear with us on that, but it is coming. And also the other people that keep us going with the video stuff, I'm switching here between a Mac Pro that's firing out a channel with the web pages on. I've got 4 Mac Minis that are running with these guys on. I've got Muller on a webcam, and the thing that allows me to switch all of that stuff together is Wirecast. It is superb. From telestream.net. Please go and check out their services. They're incredible. They are just the best for solutions for video. And Wirecast is superb. If you've got a sporting event, if you've got a church, if you've got a social club or anything like that where you want to broadcast stuff, it's a fantastic piece of video switching software. And it just works. It's brilliant. Check it out. Telestream.net. And don't forget as well, you can use ScreenFlow, which is another one of their fantastic applications for screen capture. Well worth it. Time for the cool thing. Excuse me. Start us off, Mr. Campion.
Okay, first, Jeff, apologies, because I think I'm either going to pinch your pick or I'm going to cost you money, one or the other.
Oh. It cost me money.
Now, we're going to have a bit of a controversy over this, Camps. Go on.
I love it. Well, so, Mrs. C is a ginormous James Bond fan. she spotted this one way before I did. The Aston Martin DB5 new set from the Lego Creator series, 1,295 pieces, and it's on pre-order now.
Unless
to VIP members, VIP members, and it's 1st of August release in the UK and US, I believe.
Yep.
$149.99 in the US. It just looks fab.
It looks so, nothing like
you
one.
Didn't cost me money because I had already found this, and I get why some people look at kits like this and say this is horrible because, you know, it's designed just to be the one thing. But, you know, it's a really cool kit. It does some really cool things. You can learn a lot of really cool building techniques from it. And you can leave the car together or not. You can make other things. They're Lego bricks. They come apart and you can do whatever you with them. And I think it's a really cool kit.
I just love the little design of it.
See, my problem is this is Airfix without glue. It's gone beyond Lego that was fun to build, and now it's a specific kit that doesn't require glue.
Yeah, I get that point.
I just find it a bit hard.
Yeah, but Lego's been doing this forever.
Yeah, this is every Lego set. Kits. You're right.
But now it's gone very far.
But specific Lego sets, they've been doing this for decades.
And but it's gone James Bond, and it's even got the blades that come out of the centre of the wheels.
Oh, well, in that case, yeah. I mean,
it's worth it.
And it has the fracking ejection seat that works.
It works.
Hold on, I had a dinky car that had a proper ejection seat, and it shot bullets out the front. That's nothing, no? And it was cheaper.
I did too. I've actually got the DB5 that does all that.
Okay, guys, this is my cool thing. Not
yours. Yeah, all right, okay. Sorry, man. Didn't need to.
And I'm totally with you. I love this cool thing.
I bought a backwinch one for a birthday. Not that, but.
So, this would have been my cool thing had you not picked it, but it's okay because I anticipated that someone else would pick that before me, so I have a different pick.
And they made a video in 4:3 and it doesn't resize.
What?
Wankers.
That's stupid.
That's it. Shit pick.
And Birmingham has a Lego land now.
We do, but you're not allowed in, are you? Because you never.
Not unless you take a child with you.
Yeah, but that would raise
that's
more.
All Lego. That's all of the Lego Windsor, I think, is the same, and the Legoland Manchester is exactly the same as well.
We've all threatened to kidnap Bryony and take her.
She wouldn't need to kidnap her. She'd kidnap you.
She did say at the bash she wasn't happy.
keep looking at the large sets that are $1,000 and up, says Atlee in the chat room. You know you're on the podcast, right? And I know you might not.
Yeah, I know, but I'm answering people in the chat.
But you might not be in focus. But there we go.
Why not focus? Okay, there we go.
There it is.
Yeah, no, I've got we have quite the Lego set here, actually.
Good man. Not using an S on. Well done for not using an S on the end of it. Superb.
Yeah. No, it's Lego. We've got basically all of the stuff from Lord of the Rings and all of the stuff from The Hobbit. My wife's a huge fan, so we actually had quite the bizarre theme at our wedding. So it's pretty funny.
Oh, charming!
Don't sit on it; it'll hurt your ring.
Moving on. Jeff, what have you got for us, buddy?
Well, I'm sticking with the toy theme, but this is a toy for women. So let's say you want to wake up in the morning to an alarm, but you want it to be a lot more pleasant than your typical alarm, and you'd like it to be stimulating as well.
Siri likes it.
That's where the little rooster comes in. This is an alarm clock that's also a vibrator. And so women will slide it into their panties, and when it's time to wake up, they start getting different vibrating, pulsing patterns that will certainly wake them up. And if what I'm hoping is that there's a snooze button on it, so that you can just keep it going and going until you reach your happy, happy.
And then you get your cock-a-doodle-doo.
And then you get your cock-a-doodle-doo.
What happens if you sleep in too late? Does it eventually shake you right out of the bed?
My guess is that if it does its job well, you will be wide awake but very relaxed long before that point.
But Jeff, within minutes of your alarm going off, do you not just turn over and go back to sleep?
That's when the relationship is just kind of past its prime.
Oh, there's a diagram of where it fits if you hadn't worked out already.
How'd you pause it, or do you just slap her on the arse and it just gives her 10 more minutes?
Well, I'm assuming you'll be doing a product review, so let us know.
I'm just worried that Sharon, I'll buy this for Sharon, and then the first morning we use it, I end up treating her for epilepsy. But darling, I was worried.
Oh, shit.
And we wonder why Bob Beach jumps off before the cool thing starts.
OFFS. Don't know what that means. Why is there a square one? Is that for the low budget version?
I think that's a smaller one, so it's like a travel size.
Why do you need to be smaller?
Is that so you can get it through airport security?
There you go.
Okay, got you. Fantastic pick, mate. That's right at the top of my shopping list for Christmas.
There will be ladies in your life that for the first time ever will be excited.
Have you bought one for Angela?
Someone gave them an alarm clock as a gift. No, I think I suffice. But for when I travel, yeah, I should totally get her one of these.
When you travel, she should get one of these.
Exactly. Yes.
Being up with the lark has never meant so much. Atlee, what cool things have you got for us, mate?
So I have actually a couple, but I think I will start off with...
You only get one, mate. You've done this before. You just get one. Just pick one.
Okay, fine. I like this one, actually. It's Kensington's come out with a new dock for the Microsoft Surface Pro. And it's really nice because what it basically does is turns the Surface Pro into the same form factor as the Surface Studio. It's got the similar type of base. It gives you lots of USB ports.
Okay.
You've got connection for two 4K monitors. If you have two 4K monitors, though, they'll only refresh at 30 hertz or 30 megahertz, rather. And the it's just a beautiful form factor. It goes along sort of with the Surface design, and I think it's really awesome. It's really really sweet.
It does look good.
It looks very much like is it a 24 product that I'm thinking of?
24.
Trying to think of the
12 South.
12 South. And where did 24 come from? Yeah, that's 12 South product.
It's Kensington.
So, yeah, and I really like Kensington.
Yeah, I'm saying the design of it looks very much like a 12 South product.
Yeah, yeah. I really like Kensington products. I remember one of my longest standing tech products ever was a trackball that I had from Kensington that I basically used for almost 12 years. And it was just indestructible. And I eventually just got rid of it because it started looking ugly because it had changed color. I'd gone from the beige that it was into some, it looked like a smoker actually. But Kensington makes some really fantastic things. So I'm looking forward to this. I haven't really been one for using any of the docks other than the plug-in dock on the desk. But that dock actually I really like it. It's it gives you the ability to also put it at any angle that you want and set it at any height you want, which is really helpful in certain situations.
Dude's a dipshit. He comes in, gets it out of his bag, sticks it on the stand, leaves the office for the night, leaves the frigging Surface in the dock.
Yeah, I know.
What an arse.
And then he gets burgled.
Mm-hmm. Well, so my only question on these stands is that when you leave your Surface plugged in all the time, does it not eventually kill the battery out?
Yeah.
Because I know that lithium-ion batteries don't hold a memory, but they do charge and discharge the top end of their cycle and eventually kill those cells, right?
Well, we've had this conversation because there was a juice thing that that came out for Mac, and I always said, no, I'm sorry, but it's not supposed to make a difference. The optimum charge for a LiPo battery when it's not in use is 40%. But yeah. If it's every time I've heard it, it's like if you need juice, plug it in and leave it in.
Aren't they out? How much are these?
I haven't seen any prices on them yet. They've announced them, but they haven't really. I haven't seen any prices on them. The price seems high. They're saying here the price seems high at $300. But when I went to Kensington's site, they had this originally on their site, and it went down. They took it down. I don't know if they changed. It was prematurely released or what's going on. So I'm not 100% sure whether you can get it right now, because when you go to Kensington, you can't find it.
The premature release, was that due to the little rooster?
It might have been.
Very likely. It was set early.
Well, I just think that, yeah, I think that the website was updated ahead of when they actually announced it. Because I don't see anything here saying they officially announced it.
Right.
So, anyways. $300 is a little high for a dock, but it's not beyond the power. I mean, if it's giving you
ports and output, it's not too bad.
But. Yeah, no, exactly. And the surface dock that you can get for the Surface Pro right now, I think it's what, $250 American anyways right now.
Yeah, and it's about £190 UK. But this is the dock, and it's a monitor stand as well.
Yeah, exactly. This is a dock and a monitor stand as well, and it also offers a lot more ports than than the Surface dock does. It's a nicer presentation.
It is very 12 South though, isn't it, the aluminium? So yeah. Good pick. Good pick. Monsieur Ashley, what do you have for us?
So, unfortunately, most of my pick is only available in the U.S., but part of it you guys can get. So, my pick this week is the Ring Home Alarm System. I don't know how it is out there, but the Ring, but alarm companies are some of the biggest crooks out there.
Oh, yeah.
Their whole scheme is to get you into these 3 and 5 year contracts that you just absolutely cannot get out of. And one of the things that's very attractive about the Ring alarm system is that you can A, install it yourself, and B, it's $10 a month and you can cancel it at any time. They have two different packages. One is $199, the other is $350, and the difference between the two is that you get additional devices. Such as motion detectors and door monitors. But the ease of setup, I set the whole thing up in an hour. I bought the bigger package for $350, so that was 2 motion detectors, 3 door sensors, 2 base stations, two keypads, and one base station. Had everything set up inside of an hour. Super simple to set up. You set up the base station first, connect it to your phone. The cool thing about the package, too, as well, for the $10 a month, it does include the Ring doorbell. And this is something that you guys can get out there.
Yeah.
Are the Ring doorbells. And I absolutely love the Ring doorbell, especially, you know, if you go out on vacation or even just one time when I left town. And my son came by unexpectedly, and I was just like, what are you doing there? And he almost had a heart attack in the doorway. But it was pretty cool, but he was just picking up something. But, you know, it really does give you an idea of who's walking up to your door, who's, you know, or one time I had a contractor come into the house, but I was a little bit behind getting back from dropping off my daughter. So when he rang the doorbell, I was like, hey, just go ahead in. I should be there in a minute, and was able to, you know, communicate that to them, that I left the door unlocked for him to go in. So the Ring doorbell is really cool, because it also then allows you to, you know, if you pay a monthly fee, you can upload the videos to their servers. But again, for the Ring alarm system, you can actually get the door unlimited devices all on the same $10 plan that you would pay for the doorbell anyway. So I really love what they're doing with the price. I really like the ease, the convenience of being able to use my phone to set the alarm or not set the alarm. They do have alarms. I forgot what the decibel is. Alarms on the base station. So if the alarm goes off, that sound will go off and scare off the intruder. So you have the option to not get the monitoring service and just use it as is, and hopefully that the decibels is enough to scare off any intruder. But if you get the monitor service, of course, then the police are automatically called. You just have to obtain your own permit from your local police department. But overall, I really like the system. It's been up and running for about 5 days now. I just set up the permit to switch it over so that it can go full monitoring. And within the first week when you set it up, they just put you in a practice mode. So nothing, even if you accidentally set the alarm off, nothing will happen. But the Ring alarm system for folks in the U.S. and Ring doorbell for folks in the U.K.
We used the Ring doorbell to scare the shit out of trick-or-treaters a few years ago.
Yep.
Brilliant. They ring the doorbell. There's these little kids there from two upwards, and I'm going, ooh, dummy phone.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to do that.
One of them cried. That's when it kind of got ugly, but shouldn't have come round, should she? It's her fault.
That's a high five first.
I blame the parents. Muller.
Yeah.
A cool thing.
Wasn't expecting to be on the show tonight, so I didn't really have anything, but I bought this a few weeks back, and it's an RFDI wallet.
RFID.
RFID. So I can put my credit cards in there and not get punked.
The Hoobist.
Yeah, it's not very expensive. It's only about £14, so and it's quite a compact thing. You've got a place to put a bit of money. You can stick all your cards. It's got actually quite a lot of space for ID, and you can put a few bits and pieces on the outside that you need regularly, like your travel card and that, and bus tickets. So if you're like me, getting a bit freaked out about your bank sending you these, new cards, which have got a £30 limit, and no one needs to. All they got to do is touch it on the at the cash point or whatever. Get one of these or something similar, and they won't be able to at least steal your wallet. They got to get your wallet to get your card, rather than just bump up against you, then use it in the shops. Which cool. has happened to me, unfortunately.
Good pick, mate.
Nice.
Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Campion?
Get me at Campion UK on Twitter, Campion UK on Instagram, which is where I show my running stuff. And you can get me in the Slack room. That's where you need to get me at.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. Jeffrey?
I am over at macobserver.com, and I am Jay Gamut on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm on all kinds of podcasts. Apple Context Machine, Daily Observations, here on The Big Show. And anyhow, I kind of make the rounds. I'm easy to find.
And you coming on the Mac Show tomorrow?
If I can get one of my meetings moved so that I have time, yes, I will do it.
Okay, let us know in the morning.
So I'll keep you posted.
Atlee, where are you, sir?
Well, you can reach me on Twitter at Atlee Hunter. You can also reach me on Facebook there at atlee.hunter.com or atlee.hunter, sorry. And on my blog, atleehunter.com. Sorry, a little scatterbrain right now. You'll be able to hear me on some more of these podcasts coming up in the very near future.
Brilliant, mate. And the Microsoft show and the Pocket show will be coming back.
Yep.
New one and an old one revisited. Chris, where are you, mate?
You can always find me over at the SMR podcast, over at smrpodcast.com. Three fellas that just talk tech and a whole bunch of other stuff. You can also catch me on Twitter at Big Chris Ashley. And one of the things to talk about is my weight loss journey. So folks are looking for tips and conversation about that, check out the podcast. I'm always talking about it.
And last but by no means least, a man who has lost a stone himself.
Yeah, I'll find it. It's in the garden somewhere.
Yeah. Muller Biker, where are you?
I'm on Muller Biker on Twitter. I'm now your go-to guy for booking.
Executive producer.
So anyone wants to come on who's on tonight, keep me posted of your availability, and I'll slot you in. I'll put you on the show, sorry, not slot you in, you know, that's... but you know what I mean. So just hopefully yeah. get people turning over and get regular, you know, sort of people to appear more regularly, like Big Chris or now Little Chris, as you should be known.
Chris, Little Chris, welcome to our party. Camps knows that song.
So we should have, you'll have Ian Grant, Chris more often, and hopefully we'll get the Mac show going as well. I've got Charlotte Henry coming back. She's contacting me, so she'll be back soon. So we're getting the gang back together.
I'm not sure that the listeners needed an entire explanation of booking process, but thanks, man.
That's okay. Cool.
Superb. my name's Ewan. Oh, Atlee's gone. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next Thursday with the big show as normal, 8 p.m., 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time if you want to come and watch live. And we'll be here with the Mac show tomorrow at 4 p.m. UK, which is 11 a.m. Eastern. It should be all the fun of the fair and some good stories if Apple have done anything. Not sure. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.